Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Real quick, before we dive in, I want to make sure you know about my book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. It's available anywhere books are sold. Thousands of people have it, love it, and have told me that it has greatly benefited their self-love journey, and I hope it'll do the same for you. And now let's get into the podcast. When I was 17, my family threw a giant birthday party for my grandpa's 70th. We did it Slavic style, which means renting out a ballroom, hiring a band. There was like 100 people, and we had these big round tables overflowing with homemade Russian food. It was probably one of the biggest parties that my family has thrown, aside from maybe my aunt's wedding. It was just like a big deal. You know, Slavs take the round number celebrations very seriously, and my grandpa turning 70 warranted this kind of event. So we flew out from Arizona to California, where my family lived at the time, and I knew, my 17-year-old self knew, that this party would be full of food that I love, that I can't eat because I'm on a diet, because I'm trying to lose weight. So what did I do? I proactively spent the days leading up to the party cooking all of my food, prepping them into plastic Tupperware containers, freezing my meals, freezing them so I could take them on the plane, get to my grandma's house, put them in the fridge, and then I proceeded to eat my tilapia and broccoli from a Tupperware at my grandpa's 70th birthday party. I sat there, sad, yet having this air of moral righteousness about me, trying to tell myself that I'm, you know, dedicated and disciplined, and I'm on a diet, and I'm doing the right thing, and look at all these people gorging while I am good. And I remember my grandma walking over to me. At the time, I got in a fight with her. I was annoyed with her. But now I look back and I remember how hurt she was when she came over and was like, "What? You're not going to eat anything? Like, you know, we ordered all this food. It's all homemade. It's all your favorite. Like, you're not going to eat at your grandpa's birthday?" And I was like, "You know, no, grandma, I'm not going to eat. Don't you get it? I'm on a diet." I feel so sad for that girl who I was, really, really struggling with my relationship with food. The plot thickens. The next day, we have a fridge full of leftovers from this party. And this whole weekend leading up to the party, I was, you know, being good, eating the meals that I had prepped, sticking to my diet. And on the last day that I was spending with my family, I went into the fridge and started binging, just binging all of the leftovers. And I think my family must have been out and then they came home. But I remember like my grandma like walking into the kitchen and seeing me eat all this food that I denied, that I yelled at her about not eating the night before. And she was just genuinely confused. She's like, "So, you know, you couldn't enjoy yourself last night, but now you're doing this." And I don't even remember what the interaction was like, but of course I remember feeling full of shame, not really knowing how to explain myself, because I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't familiar with the restrict, binge, shame-filled cycle that I was constantly stuck in. I thought the key to not binging was to just restrict more, but that's actually what was leading to me binging. And so because I didn't know what was going on with feeling so crazy and uncontrollable around food, I just lashed out. I just remember leaving that whole weekend with my family on a pretty rough note. Looking back at what parties, events, especially holiday gatherings, used to be like for me, because they are so food-centered, in my culture, especially so, like food is literally why we all come together. We sit at the table and we eat and we eat and we eat. And that used to send me into a really, really dark place leading up to it, during the event, after the event. So today I wanted to give you a quick intuitive eating tip that will hopefully help you combat these disordered eating behaviors, or at the very least, like retrain your brain just a little bit to have a more peaceful relationship with food. Before I tell you this quick intuitive eating tip, I promised myself that I would read positive podcast reviews at the start of every solo episode. So this sweet reviewer wrote, "Throughout my ED recovery journey and journey through self-love, you, Mary, have been a vital cornerstone to my life, knowledge, wisdom, love, and understanding for the world that I will carry forever. Thank you for your dedication to us, sweet girl. I love you. P.S. Four of my friends and I have a book and have your book, and we are currently working on the gift of self-love together. It's been so healing and connecting for all of us." Thank you so much for giving yourself and your friends the gift of self-love. It just brings so much joy to my heart. And I hope that we can continue in this way. So let's talk about this intuitive eating method that will help you, especially around holiday parties. The common misconception is, like I mentioned with my experience, that avoiding food will help you eat less of it. But the truth is that restriction, whether it's mental, like you telling yourself you can't have it, or physical, like you not letting yourself have it, regardless, restriction, mental or physical, will only lead to obsession. When your body feels deprived, it fixates on what it can't have. It's like telling a toddler no, they're just going to throw a tantrum. So your body does the same thing. It fixates, it obsesses over what it can't have. And that mental tug of war that you are playing with yourself actually becomes louder than hunger or fullness or being able to listen to that at all. You're just focused on this like inner battle of like, should I, shouldn't I? Oh, I could, but I don't, I told myself I wouldn't. Well, I promised I'd be good. And you're just, you know, being so mean to yourself in that process. And of course, food feels like it's the culprit. I feel like pajamas are kind of the unsung version of self-care. Like, yes, we love therapy and journaling and bubble baths, but there's nothing quite like having the pair of pajamas. The ones that are beautiful and comfortable and cozy, like the ones I've been living in lately from Cozy Earth. They're made from viscose from bamboo, which basically means that they're buttery soft, temperature regulating, and make me feel like I have my life together even when I'm just lounging around with dog hair all over me. I did so much holiday shopping for my cousins, my in-laws, my mom, my sister from Cozy Earth's website. And I also got some new blankets for the house, including Cozy Earth's best-selling bubble cuddle blanket. Yes, it's as lovely as it sounds. My sister came over and refused to leave because of this blanket. Truly anything from Cozy Earth makes for the perfect gift for you or your loved ones. And Black Friday is starting early at Cozy Earth. You can also stack my code Mary, M-A-R-Y, for an extra discount, giving you up to 40% off in savings. And all of their stuff comes with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So this holiday season, wrap the ones you love, including yourself, in luxury with Cozy Earth. Again, my code Mary, M-A-R-Y, will give you extra savings. And if you get a post-purchase survey, make sure you mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on Mary's Cup of Tea. I have someone close to me who does this. She tries to portion control at dinner. So she takes just a little bit and then comes back for seconds and thirds and fourths. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I can just feel, because I've been in that place, I could just hear the mental vitriol that she goes through every time she walks back and forth to the counter to get more food. And it's really hard to watch, because if you had just filled your plate from the beginning, then you could sit and eat in peace, and you'd probably end up eating the same amount as you are kind of like doing the rounds, you know, the convincing, the negotiation that we do with ourselves around food. And this person also does it around dessert. Like if there's a cake out, for example, at first she'll be like, no, like I can't, I gotta be good, I promised myself. So she'll sit there with like an empty plate while everyone else is eating cake. And she'll be like, okay, fine, just like a small piece. She'll cut herself a small piece and then like cut another little sliver and another little sliver. And then I see her leaning over the counter, holding the knife and literally licking the knife it's, first of all, dangerous. But second of all, why not just have the slice of cake in the first place? Like, why not just let yourself enjoy it? Because you think, and you might be able to not have any cake this time and control yourself, but that's only going to create more obsession next time you're around cake or sweets or food, which is probably going to be sooner rather than later, especially as we're around the holiday season. So here's how to stop that. Here's the intuitive eating technique that is especially helpful when it comes to feasts, gatherings, events. Rather than trying to avoid the buffet or grazing around the snack table or being sly, cunning, sneaky around food, thinking that you can like outsmart yourself into eating less. Instead of doing that kind of mental manipulation with yourself, build yourself a plate. I have a plate right here as a demonstration, but mostly because I wanted to show off my grandmother's fine china that she gave to me. Isn't this such a pretty plate? Anyway, you're going to take a plate, a big plate, or whatever plate there is, and you are going to fill it with food. That means taking a bit of everything that looks appealing to you, everything you want to try, and then you're going to take that plate and you're going to go sit down and you are going to enjoy the experience of eating food. Why does this work? Especially because it sounds so simple, like just fill a plate with food and eat it. Yeah, it is that simple. It works because visually you're seeing abundance. You're seeing something that is full and whole and complete. And that reminds you that you are full and whole and complete. And as you're eating, instead of seeing lack on your plate, seeing the, you know, the small little piece of cookie just disappearing before your eyes and getting this like frantic energy around that lack, that scarcity, that wanting more, the cravings, the again, this is what sends us in that spiral of feeling crazy around food. Instead, you're going to train your brain, your body, your spirit to appreciate, accept, and receive abundance on your plate. Like, just look at all this food that you get to eat. Getting seconds, getting thirds, fourths, whatever you want to do, that is absolutely okay. But the idea is that you start with a full, whole plate and then go get more if you want it, rather than starting with an empty plate and trying to fill in the gaps piece by piece, which is going to prevent you from feeling fully satisfied because you're just reinforcing that there's never enough, that I always want more. Instead, overflow the plate, make it whole, make it full, make it complete, and sit down and eat. It shows you, like literally visually shows you, that all foods have a place on your plate. So instead of, you know, ranking food in a hierarchy or judging food as this is good and this is bad and this I can have and this I can't, you make yourself a plate where the salty, the sweet, the spicy, the hearty, the mushy, the crunchy, the soft, like everything is there. And so like your brain can literally relax because it actually feels like, remember, your body is a human animal. So your human animal psyche, psychologically, you're seeing this sense of abundance that's going to break you out of that survival mode that you, not you personally, but like our disordered brains have been trained to be in for so long. That's what an eating disorder does. It puts you in survival mode around food. So we're going to instead create safety, create abundance. All this is nervous system regulation. Building a plate literally rewires your brain to see food as abundant, to see it as, oh, it's always going to be there. So I don't have to, you know, freak out about it one day not being there and treating every party like it's the Last Supper. That's what a binge is that you think your body's in survival mode. It thinks it's going to die. So you're like, okay, this is the Last Supper. And to break out of that, we need every single meal to be as abundant as the Last Supper, but without feeling like you're going to die. So I hope you can use this build a plate strategy, not just during holiday feasts, but day in and day out. How can you make your plate look full and whole and complete? You deserve to be fed and nourished and loved. If you're enjoying our self-love podcast, please take a moment to leave a comment or a review letting me know what your biggest takeaway was. As somebody who works mostly behind the scenes on this podcast, I love hearing from you, and it just keeps me connected to the purpose, which is always to spread the gift of self-love.